Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know who you are?
Steven is my name. Even Steven.
Will you say something, Steven?
Steven or else media.
Say, kids, what time is it?
What time is it? Well, it's time for another Just Another Fanboy classic episode. Today we travel back in time 17 years, 4 months, and 5 days to May the 31st, 2007, and that's so that we can listen to episode number 40 of Just Another Fanboy, Volume 1. This time around, 2007, Karen and I discuss upcoming plans for future episodes, such as a special Personality Quirks episode and a 1-year anniversary celebration. We also share an email that may or may not have been sent by then-star of 30 Rock on NBC, Alec Baldwin. We then go on to ponder the complexities of parenting toddlers, review some classic comics and TV shows, and Karen introduces a new segment where she explores intriguing old magazines. Get ready for laughs, get ready for insights, but most importantly, get ready for a trip down memory lane, folks, because this is Just Another Fanboy, Volume 1, Episode Number 40. Is Alec Baldwin a fan? Enjoy!
You're listening to Just Another Fanboy. 4 out of 5 dentists agree that listening to the Just Another Fanboy podcast while sitting through an extensive root canal is more favorable than having your gum scraped with a wooden spoon. Just Another Fanboy is a Lynx Broadcasting production and a proud member of the Comics Podcasts Network.
Up in the sky, look!
It's a bird!
It's a plane! It's Superman!
There it is!
I apologize for that, but I think you'll find this a bit more interesting.
Just like a comic book! Just like a comic book! Just like a comic book! Just like a comic book!
Welcome to episode number 40 of Just Another Fanboy. I'm your host, Steven.
And I'm Karen.
Hiya!
40's a big one.
40's a big one.
Congratulations,
sweetheart. Well, let's just do some announcements.
Let's just jump right in.
Let's just jump in there.
Please.
Put on your swim fins. Now, I want to officially announce that the episode we're going to do our personality quirks on is going to be episode number 42.
42.
For a couple of reasons.
Cool.
A, we have gotten a few submissions, okay, but not enough that I want to try to build an episode around it. And two, because, well, 42 is the answer.
Yeah, it always
to the ultimate question of life, the universe,
is.
And everything.
It shows up in so many movies and stuff. I never would have known that before I met you.
Well, and speaking of which,
now I see it all the time.
I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but back on May 25th was official, the towel day. Because the big thing in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Towel, T-O-W-E-L.
Yes.
Okay.
Big thing in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, written by Douglas Adams. For those of you who haven't read it, 42 is a reference from those series of books. But a hitchhiker has to have a towel with him. And May 25th is basically the day for you to
work day?
Yeah, you're supposed to take a towel with you everywhere and to honor the life of Douglas Adams. And I completely forgot.
I always have a towel draped over my shoulder.
I meant to take a towel to work and I completely forgot. So sorry to Mr. Douglas Adams.
But anyway.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah. And
now,
quirks will be on episode 42.
42.
So get them in.
Get them in.
I need to think of some too.
So speaking, you know, this is episode 40. That means we have to start thinking of what we're going to do for our big anniversary episode.
Oh, our golden anniversary?
Yes. I'm not going to do anything special for episode 50. Just simply because the 1-year anniversary of this show
52?
Comes just to, well,
52 weeks in a year.
It would be 52.
Has it been that long already?
Yes, but
jeez,
it's actually going to be episode 53.
Okay.
I recorded episode 1 of Just Another Fanboy on August 28th, 2006. And that was a Tuesday.
And it just so happens that August 28th, 2007 also lands on a Tuesday.
Oh, cool.
And
oh my gosh.
Using what I like to call math, I checked the calendar.
Shudder.
And our episode 53 will be that week. So episode 53 is going to be recorded on Tuesday, August 28th, 2007. It will be our 1 year anniversary episode.
That
so
rocks.
We got to think of what I don't want to do a clip episode because I don't want to have to go through
that would be a lot
52
of work.
Episodes looking
it
for
just like
clips.
All listener
all,
feedback.
Yes. So
all listener feedback.
Send in your,
give it to
yeah, send in your email, send in your voicemails. If you have a microphone
yeah,
hooked up to your computer.
August.
Well, yeah, but. I'm giving everyone
plenty of warning.
Plenty
Fair
of warning.
People.
I don't want to hear anybody on episode 54 going, oh man, I didn't realize you were doing this. So we're going to have to make a point to talk about this on every episode up until
yeah,
then.
Because if you get new listeners who.
Yeah,
because
so we're just going to drone on and on and on and on and on and on. Okay. See?
Sorry.
See, this is.
I said it to you. You have been a bad influence on me because you say that and I don't. And I did.
You just did.
Because of you. First flick of the pick of the night.
It's always the man's fault.
No, it isn't. And I'm not that kind of person. And you should know that.
It's always the man's fault. Okay.
Oh, well, let's not get into
so
the debate.
We could do an all listeners feedback episode, but I also want to open it up to the listeners, our dear constant listeners. If they have any ideas, maybe what they would like to hear in a 1 year anniversary episode.
Just kind of like people did with your 25th, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But just write in, call in, tell us what you'd like to hear, or just leave your comments, and maybe we can get, you know, an hour's worth of feedback.
I think that Norman
that
and Gary
just...
should host that whole show.
Oh, that...
that would be fun.
That is an awesome idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it when I
Gold
good.
Star for you.
Oh, ding,
all
ding,
right.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay.
This is going to be fun. I'm so pumped up. And you know what? It's 10:45 in the p.m.
In the p.m. I'm usually
we're
snuggled
up late.
Yeah.
We're staying up late. We're staying up late for this here podcast. We're pumped full of caffeine and good vibrations. And I don't know why.
I don't know, because I'm usually...
I'm just feeling so much more like myself than I was last week or so. I was just out of whack again.
Because I'm usually snuggled deep within the confines of the bed.
Yeah, but you got the day off tomorrow.
I do.
Because you...
Because Memorial Day was Monday. And
you
my,
never work on Mondays.
No, my regular day off is Monday. So to compensate for the holiday, those of us who always have Mondays off were able to choose a different day of the week this week.
So we can stay up late, even though... We
yeah,
can't
even,
really sleep
yeah,
in.
The kids are going to get us up
anyway.
We can
take turns yeah. taking cat naps tomorrow.
But we could probably sleep in till 8.
Mm.
Remember the days when we first started
out
going
bed
out?
2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I'd roll out at the crack
Please.
Of 1.
You used to drive me
Those
crazy.
Those were the days.
Gosh, that big change for you. Yeah. I mean, you never got up before noon when I first knew you.
Yeah. Well, to quote Kermit and Fozzie, moving right along.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned a few episodes back that I had started a novel called, not writing, but reading, called It's Superman by Tom DeHaven. And it's just been sitting, I've read it and I loved it and it's been sitting on my shelf. And I've decided, you know what? I like this so much. I want others to read it. So I'm giving it away.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
Here's how the contest works. It's
this
very
is news to me, people.
I'm just telling
you
right now.
Stuff away.
I'm giving it away.
You could probably get a couple bucks for that at the used bookstore.
I don't care.
Oh wow.
I don't care.
Okay.
We get more
We're
for
giving
DVDs.
Away free stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We sold a lot of DVDs.
So here's how this amazing Just Another Fanboy contest works.
Oh, detail.
You have until episode 42.
Again with the 42. I'm telling you, it's creepy.
Email justanotherfanboy@gmail.com and just say, hey, I would like your copy of It's Superman.
Okay.
I'll collect all the email and during episode 42, I'll draw one name out of the old
Neat.
Hat, as it were, and whoever wins.
And then only the winner has to submit their address. That's,
well, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I'll announce.
So everybody,
yeah. You don't have
all your addresses yeah, and then we'll pick a winner.
You don't have to put your address in your original email, but if you win, we'll announce you on the show. We'll draw it out of the proverbial hat. And if you win, then you can email
Does
us your address.
Be a proverbial hat?
Well, it could be a real hat.
It's going to be a real hat.
Yeah.
I'll find a hat.
Okay. And then, we'll send it out to you.
Whoop whoop.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, honey.
All right.
Gold star for you, too.
It's not a crazy, you know, you don't have to write anything other than, I would like a copy of the book. You don't even have to spell it correctly.
Yeah, pretty much. If it's
as long as you don't
about the book in their subject line.
As long as you don't type it like you're texting on a phone.
Because we can't read that.
No,
stuff. We are not.
I'm not a youngin.
Text literate. No. At all.
Okay, so
that one commercial drives me crazy.
Oh, with the little girl and her mom. WWM Lalo, but
shut up. Hitting it, my BFF. Yeah, it's like, huh?
My BFF Jill.
Yeah. I give you a cold slap. My BFF Jill.
Give you a cold slap to the head.
Say, I don't know. Same amount of syllables
now,
as IDK.
Yeah. It's kind of like.
That's like WWW being short for World Wide Web.
Yeah. World Wide Web takes less syllables than WWW.
Far less. It's just one of
and
those
yet,
funny things.
People still say WWW instead of World Wide
Web. Just say World Wide
Web. Okay. So, now, typically, I got an email. All right. Typically, we read our listeners' feedback emails during listeners' feedback, but
this is too good.
This was such an odd email.
I have lots to say about this.
I wanted to talk about it straight
we
up the front.
We can fill a whole show with what I have to say about this, but I'll try to keep it short.
And, so I'm checking the email over at the justanotherfanboy@gmail.com. And the first thing I notice is that the user, the from line says, Alec Baldwin. And I kind of went,
okay,
cool. Somebody's name, there's some guy out there named Alec Baldwin.
Is that really what your first thought was?
Oh. Yeah. Kind of like the whole, what is it from Office Space? The guy that's named after the singer, Michael Bolton.
Oh yeah.
You know, and are you related to Michael Bolton?
Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, okay. Alec Baldwin, and he says, hello, Stephen. My name's Alec Baldwin. And I'm going to take a leap of faith by saying, you probably know who I am. I just wanted to tell you I listen to your show, usually when I'm traveling, and I enjoy it very much. I have a couple of comments. First of all, bring back Norman, Oklahoma. He was hilarious. Second of all, bring back Gary, Indiana at the movies. I love that segment. Anyway, I love the show, and I hope you live for eternity and goodbye. Signed, Alec Baldwin. Okay.
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot!
let me just say this. Straight off the bat.
Yeah.
Do I truly believe this is Alec Baldwin from 30 Rock? No, I don't.
Okay, and then I'll go with yes, I do then. Only to play devil's advocate. Because, you know, I...
Would it not be totally cool if it was?
It would be totally weird if it was.
I think it would be... Because I know you're not
you
a big
know
fan
me.
Of Alec
well,
Baldwin.
Well, don't say that in case it is him. Well, and he is listening. Because I've made it perfectly clear. I don't think I've ever mentioned Alec Baldwin by name in regard to my... celebrity, square off when it comes to celebrity divorce and scandals. I always pick a side. It's really juvenile, but it's what I do. I don't think I've ever said anything about being like for Team Kim or anything. I've mentioned the whole Tom Cruise thing and the Sylvester Stallone, but I don't think I've mentioned Alec Baldwin. I do believe that when all that stuff went down with his voicemail to his daughter was during the 2 weeks that I must have been off of the podcast, or I would have mentioned it. And I have no recollection of having mentioned it.
One thing that leads me to believe it.
Because he probably wouldn't have sent such a nice email if it really was him.
Yeah.
I actually had
well, one thing that leads me to believe that it's not is because he mentions he listens while he's traveling. And I got to assume because he has a regular job, which is on 30 Rock. So I don't know how often
sure
he really
done with
travels.
That. Well, please. Well, people in
I don't know. But okay. Let me just
LA
say this.
New York all the time.
Let me just throw out a challenge to Mr. Alec Baldwin. If you are truly and.
Okay, well, let me say that I have gone to his official website where he has a guest book. And I tell you, those people are kind of crazy because they use it like a message board, even though you're limited to like only so many characters. And they're throwing stuff out that
they post crap
about. Well, don't say that in case it's him.
I'm sure if it, I'm sure.
Okay, so I love you, honey. now I lost my train of thought. Okay, so anyway, in the midst of all this kind of garbled mumbo jumbo that I can't even follow along with, I post a thing that says, does anyone know how I could verify if something came from Alec Baldwin? Thinking if it's his, you know, website, he probably reads some of these things. And if it was him and he can see that I'm questioning it, he would somehow get back with us. Posted a couple of different things in regard to that and didn't get any replies other than it's kind of something kind of vulgar. So, yeah, we've got no way of knowing. What was his email address?
Well,
did it come from like Alec Baldwin?
It was Alec Baldwin followed by a number at gmail.com, which is another reason that kind of leads me to believe it may not be.
See, it's hard to know.
Cause I don't know. I would think.
But you know what would be great is we've made it known on this podcast that one thing we eventually want to do is interview well-known celebrities about their love and interest in comic books.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't it make perfect sense that since he, if it's him, a celebrity contacted us first, that then we would respond with an email that says, great, if you're really him and you really listen to the show, then how would you like to help us out and be our first, you know, celebrity interview? We're not going to ask you anything about your personal life other than how it relates to comic books.
Yeah, I don't think it's him.
Okay. Well,
I will say this.
I would say if it's him,
send us a voicemail.
Not even that, because there are some darn good impersonators. But how about send us a link in regard, or send us information on how to get a hold of your people, agent, manager, whatever, to set up.
Or here's one better.
An interview.
Let us know the next time you're going to be on like a Tonight Show or The Late Night with David Letterman, and actually go on there and say something.
Fit in
Just Another Fanboy somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Then we'll know it's you.
Yeah, I don't think it's him.
But, well, we'll find out.
It would be totally awesome if it was.
But then you have to think, if it's not, what kind of person listens to your show, our show, and would call himself Alec Baldwin, as if that would make...
I can think of a couple. First off the bat.
Yeah, maybe.
David, my brother. He would totally do something like that.
Why would he pick Alec Baldwin of all people?
Because he's crazy.
But why, just out of the...
I don't know.
Blue Scott guy, would he pick Alec Baldwin?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know either, but it's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds, people.
Yeah, because you'd think anybody who knows me and was going to play a trick on me like that, they wouldn't use Alec Baldwin. They'd use Kevin Smith or Michael Palin or somebody like that. And then I'd be like, Michael Palin, Kevin Evil.
We named our daughter after you. Please pay for her college.
Which I am going to say right now, because I still have yet to get the recording device that records off Skype. But once we do, I am going to try my darndest to get an interview with Michael Palin.
I know. You've mentioned that before.
Which will be basically an hour of me going, I love you so much.
Yeah, I'll have to handle that one.
Yeah.
You can handle the Alec Baldwin one so that I don't say something stupid, because I sit in front of this microphone and I just ramble. And it would be just like me to say something offensive.
Like, but I like Alec Baldwin.
I mean, him too. I'll just have to stay away from the whole personality thing that I develop about celebrities as a celebrity gawker. Not a stalker, but I'm a gawker.
Well, he was one of these actors that I never really paid too much attention to. He was in The Shadow.
Let's just say
which
this.
I really loved.
Leonardo, baby.
Yeah.
That was his best thing.
Two things that Alec Baldwin did that really brought him to the forefront of me really enjoying him was realizing he's very funny. He's a funny guy. And two things is A, playing Leonardo on the Clerks animated series. And the second thing.
Too bad about that show.
Is the, I'm not going to go through the entire sketch, but the sketch that he did on Saturday Night Live on their public radio, where he was the two girls.
The wiener.
The wiener and his Christmas balls or whatever.
Yeah.
It was.
Oh, yeah.
Those were great.
My sweaty wieners.
Sweaty,
because that was his last name. That was good stuff. I mean, he pulled it off. A lot of times they get big celebrities to do those. I mean, somebody else would have bombed that and it would have been a mess, but he pulled it off really well.
He's awesome.
But, yeah.
All right. So anything you want to drop in here before we switch into the news?
You know, there's so much going on in the world of gossip in the last several days. I don't even know that I could begin or end, but, like the whole Rosie O'Donnell thing is like old news now that Lindsay Lohan got busted for DUI, cocaine was found in her car, and then I think they took her to jail and, you know, thumbprint or whatever and all that. And then she was out partying again and like left some club at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, kind of collapsed and had to be put in her car, completely passed out. And of course, the paparazzi got pictures of her just like all, you know. And now she's in rehab, like as of today, I guess. So that's all, you know, big gossip on TMZ and whatnot. The whole View today, first day without Rosie, was interesting. I liked it a lot. I thought, you know, Barbara Walters, class act, the way she handles all that kind of stuff. So,
you know, I noticed.
And then, oh gosh, there was this picture of Nicole Richie on TMZ where she's just like total skin and bones. And every once in a while, I'll click on the comments like I did last week, obsessive compulsively about the Rosie O'Donnell comments. And gosh, the first thing people start doing is just, you know, blasting this girl, you know, like, keep dieting. And I mean, and you're nobody anyway. No, but they'll say things like, you know, like they want her to die. Like, oh, well, you know, and things are just really cruel. And you think
that's what the internet is
happen
for.
To the whole, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. I mean, I sit there and read it all too, but I would, you know, what people who don't have anything better to do with their time than reply in a completely negative and degrading manner. I don't get that part of it.
That's what the internet's for. I'm sure when Al Gore sat down and designed the internet that he said, you know what? I want to create a place where everyone across the world can go onto the internet anonymously and make fun of everybody else.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Yeah, there was one comment that I read about how the girls, the Hollywood girls that all seem to be in a bit of trouble, instead of, I guess, having jealousy issues and trust issues with one another, should band together and develop their own support group and say, to heck with, you know, we're all going through the same things. Let's help each other instead of be enemies. And, you know,
yeah, have we not learned anything from the Spice Girls? Girl power.
Well, and have we not learned anything from Anna Nicole? I mean, people are saying the same kind of things. Like, where are the people in her life who weren't doing something about this? And boom, a few days later, she was dead. Same thing is going to happen with one of these girls. Everybody's saying, where are their families? Where are their real friends? Why aren't their managers and agents doing something? And, you know, bottom line is grown-ups are grown-ups, even if they act like children. And you cannot, you have to go through a lot of legal red tape to get somebody committed to any kind of a program. You know, they have to volunteer to do it, and then they have to volunteer to stay when it gets tough.
Well, and that's that's another thing that the internet has been designed for, is to allow folks to go online after the fact and
I told you so.
And say no, and say, well, why didn't they do this? This is what I would have done.
There's no, you know, it's like with the Nicole Richie picture, people were saying, why isn't Lionel Richie doing something about this? Well,
how do we know he's not?
The process of using tough love, where they've said, listen, you know, it could be a tough love. Who knows what they're doing?
Just because Lionel Richie is not in front of the camera saying something doesn't mean he's not saying something.
Well, he has been a couple times in the past, which may be a legitimate reason for people to wonder where he is now. But really,
maybe Lionel Richie's too busy.
Keeping it out of the spotlight is the best thing they can do. And I just hope they all get their act together. I really do.
Maybe,
it's so sad.
Maybe Lionel Richie's just a little too busy dancing on the ceiling.
Oh, please.
Okay, well, let's do some news.
Okay.
Can we?
News away.
News and information you could have easily gotten for yourself with just a little effort.
London, Madrid, Bangkok, Moscow, Cincinnati. From the four corners of the world, from the news capitals at home and abroad, the day's headlines brought into focus, the issues and events that shape our time. WKRP, Information Beacon of the Ohio Valley, presents... Desmond and the news.
Okay. Kind of a slow news week again, but I got a couple interesting articles, I believe, for you. First up, a little something about Silver Surfer quarters being illegal. Apparently, Fox, movie studio Fox, and the Franklin Mint have created these quarters that on one side is George Washington like a normal quarter, but on the other side is a color representation of the Silver Surfer. And
what's the point of that?
It's supposed to be some, you know, it's obviously an advertisement for the movie. And apparently you could collect them and use them to win something about the movie. I don't know. But the, U.S. Mint got word of this and said, don't think so. You can't do that. I've got a quote here from the U.S. Mint in a press release. The promotion is no way approved, authorized, endorsed, or sponsored by the United States Mint, nor is it in any way associated or affiliated with the United States Mint.
The Just Another Fanboy podcast will return after these messages.
And now back to Just Another Fanboy. And there was some other comment I didn't put down, basically saying this is highly illegal and you could, they, you know, Fox and the Franklin Mint could be fined for this. Because it's not just a commemorative coin. They're actually taking a quarter. You know, it's it looks like a quarter. Now, a 20th Century Fox spokesperson, Chris Patrickin, told ABC News, apparently, these are commemorative coins like many the Franklin Mint creates on a regular basis for various properties. We were confident this coin followed the same procedures and guidelines, but we'll certainly take any necessary steps to advise, if advised otherwise. So,
interesting.
And from what I understand, some of them are already out in circulation, and people are selling them on eBay for gobs of money. So if you got one, you might get some money out of it. More than a quarter. Okay. Next up, the USA Today apparently has an article discussing the shooting of four scenes from The Dark Knight, the sequel to Batman Begins, in the IMAX format. Apparently, Chris Nolan's such a fan of the IMAX format that he has shot four scenes specifically dealing with introducing the Joker and some of his henchmen in the IMAX format. It's apparently a much different format than filming a regular movie, and it's very expensive to do, and apparently they just look amazing. But I have to assume that if you go see it in your regular theater, you're not going to see these scenes unless there's a way of adapting them to the regular film format. But if...
Is that the movie where what's-his-name's going to play the Joker?
Heath Ledger, yes.
Yeah, I saw a picture of him as the Joker. Did you see that?
Yes, creepy.
That was creepy.
I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure what to feel about it just yet, but I like Batman Begins, so I'll probably enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, me too. I liked it a lot.
Also, something I ran across, the cast of Fantastic Four was on Comedy Central recently. They had something called Fantastic Monday, where they played four movies, and in between, you know, during commercials and in between movies, the cast of the Fantastic Four was on there introducing the movies and talking about the Fantastic Four. And there was something like 12 clips or something, but you can see them on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and do a search for Fantastic Monday. I watched them all today. They're actually pretty funny. And you get to see some clips from the movie, making it look even more awesome than it did just in the trailer.
Coolerific.
Lastly, something that I thought was kind of funny. Eric Idle is apparently upset over a stolen joke in Shrek the Third. Now, you've seen the movie.
Stolen joke. Yeah, I saw it.
Was there apparently a segment within the first few minutes or so of the movie with the guy with coconuts?
Yeah, I guess there was. Maybe.
Eric
Idle
was doing a radio show in Toronto on Mix FM in Toronto. And here's a quote from the show. There it is in the first 30 seconds. You go, wait a minute. John Cleese and I are in this film and you steal our joke? I don't know how the others are going to take this. I hope they, DreamWorks, cleared it with them. The first I saw was in the premiere and I was shocked. My whole family went, what? How dare you? So I walked out, calmed down, and walked back in. But I was shocked, and I think if you steal people's jokes, I don't think it's an homage. I think that's theft. And there's another quote that I read from him that says, it's been stolen blatantly by Shrek. I'm happy to say, so we'll be able to sue their asses. Now, this has been posted even over on my forum, pythonland.com/forums. And, you know, people are all over the place going, come on, Eric, big deal. We all know that that's what the Shrek movies do. And I don't know. I don't. Personally, my personal opinion, I don't think he's dead serious. I honestly don't think he's going to sue DreamWorks for that joke. I mean, I do think it is
a
little.
First of all, I don't think it's a joke. I mean, if it's a joke, it's an awfully dated one. Who hasn't used that? I mean, that's been used
I do think it is a little silly that they put this, whatever, this joke in the movie.
I wish you could remember what
that
the scene was.
John Cleese.
I remember because, Prince Charming is, on stage, doing a dinner theater, and he's riding a horse, you know, like a stick horse across the stage. And somebody backstage trying to make the sound of a horse is clapping coconuts together. Yeah.
I don't think he's serious. I mean, I even watched.
I think it's an homage, frankly.
Well, I even watched a clip from some Canadian entertainment show where they played, the audio of his quote on the show from his, you know, him on the radio. And then they actually talked to one of the DJs, and the DJ was on there saying, I think he's serious. I think he's really upset about this, and I think he's going to sue. I don't think it is. Anybody who knows Eric Idle knows that he is a giant, huge press whore. He is not.
See?
Oh yeah. And he did a tour.
This movie that you're actually in is kind of tacky.
Well, he did a tour just a few years ago where he wrote a book or something, and he did a tour of the United States, and he actually called it the Greedy Bastard Tour. So he's a huge press whore. He's the first one that would ever admit that. I think a lot of this is just tongue in cheek. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if he actually sues. If he does, frankly, I'm a slight bit disappointed because, yeah, that is what Shrek
does.
But
maybe
I do think it's kind of silly.
What are the numbers on the Shrek movie?
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, maybe if they're not as good as the other ones, this is just his way of getting people in the theater.
Maybe. I do think, like I said, it's rather silly if you're going to make a movie like that and you're going to have John Cleese and Eric Idle in it, that you're not going to tell, you know, at least mention to them at some point, hey, we got this little thing we're going to do that's kind of like the Holy Grail, and I think you guys think it's pretty funny. But
that's kind of weird.
Yeah. All right. But that's all the news. I didn't even have any interesting DVD picks this week.
I didn't even look at them. Yeah. I didn't get a chance.
Nothing that really floated my boat.
Nothing really?
All right.
Okay.
Well, then let's do my comic book picks of the week.
Okay.
Okay, now I had some picks lined up for you this week. I was going to talk about Ultimates 2, number 13 from Marvel. I was going to talk about Green Arrow, number 74. I was going to talk about Justice League of America, number 9 from DC. But I got a comic book in the mail. It was actually sent to me for free from a Mr. Matt Anderson. This is White Picket Fences, number 1 by Ape Entertainment. Written by Matt Anderson and Eric Hutchins, art by Micah Ferrator, lettering by David Hedgecock. And I enjoyed this so much that this is my only pick of the week.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think the best way to give you a synopsis of this story is to read you off of the postcard that Matt sent me. It says, when 11-year-old Charlie Hobson uncovers Martian weaponry hidden in the outskirts of his hometown of Greenview, he unwittingly sets the stage for a world-threatening conflict that will pit the American military against a deadly alien menace. As his own backyard becomes a battleground, Charlie must embark upon an adventure to return normalcy, not only to Greenview, but also to the entire planet. And like I said, I really enjoyed this first issue. You can already order issue number 3 for, I think it comes out in July. So I've just got to figure out how I'm going to get issue number 2. Right now they have issue number 1. You can order it through the Ape Entertainment website. So I'm assuming next month when issue number 2 comes around that I'll be able to order issue number 2 from the website. And I hope so, because I want to have, it's only going to be a 3 issue story and I want to get issue 2. And I'll be ordering issue number 3. But this was a nice little story, involving this little 11-year-old boy who, as it says, he goes into this old barn at the old Miller farm, which, everyone says is haunted. And he finds this little piece of alien technology and he takes it home, and the government finds out about it and they send the army into the town, Greenview, to check it out. And there's some really great scenes here, like when the army comes rolling in and, this kid's father is standing outside. Charlie's father is standing outside in a smoking jacket with his pipe, very Leave It to Beaver. And his neighbor is standing outside with his wife and she's holding an American flag and she's in a robe and curlers and he's in his white shirt and tie and saluting the army. And they start talking about their, if they have, you know, is your bomb shelter ready? You know, it's like, it really has a 60s feel, but I don't know if it's set in the 60s, but it, It really does. I'm assuming it is. They never really say, but it does have a very 60s, you know, Leave It to Beaver almost feel to it that I really enjoyed. The art, I love the art. It was just a really fun story. And I'm looking forward to reading the rest. One of the better parts of it was a little backup story, because the kid Charlie and his friends are fans of this space hero called Captain Odyssey. And they have their own little group called the Odyssey Cadets. And so there's a little backup story in this, The Astounding Adventures of Captain Odyssey, sci-fi action. And it's great because it's very Flash Gordon-esque, with these aliens that, Captain Odyssey has to take down. And I remember there was one little part in here that I really enjoyed, and I can't remember what it is now. So I'm not going to talk about it, but yeah, I really enjoy it. And it looks like they're going to continue the adventures of Captain Odyssey in the next issue. So if you get a chance to pick up White Picket Fences from Ape Entertainment, I highly recommend doing so, because it was a very nice read, and I'm looking forward to picking up the other two issues. And I'm hoping, because I think, Karen, it's something that you would like.
Me?
Yeah. Cause it is only going to be three issues. It's going to be a 3-issue story. And so after I get issue 2 and 3, I want you to sit down and read it, and we can actually maybe do a, you know, an extended review about the 3 issues on the show.
I can do that.
All right.
I will commit to that.
So, and yeah, like I said, I had picked Ultimates 2, number 13, which I really enjoyed. I remember actually bringing it out to you at one point, because I open up the book, and I'm reading the issue.
I
and
have no recollection of that.
I realized that at some point in the middle of the book, there looks to be a page that folds out.
Oh yeah, that one. Okay, I do.
And I went, oh, that's cool. There's a page that folds out, but then when I get to it, it's like it folds out to like 8 pages.
And it folds out,
and it's this,
and it folds out.
This great big thing that I hope they one day make into a poster, and it was
you were just like, whoa.
Yeah, I had to come out and show you, because
oh really yeah, cool. That was very cool.
And I was going to pick Green Arrow 74, because it's leading up to next month's issue where Green Arrow proposes to Black Canary. There was a really great scene in there that, you know, unfortunately is not for the youngsters, but there's a very intimate scene between him and Black Canary, because Green Arrow, Oliver Queen, has always been known as a, I guess if you want to use youth terms, he's a playa. And he's cheated on her many times in the past.
Oh, no.
But there's this scene where they're being intimate, and she finds out that he has been, well, celibate for the past year because he has been saving himself for her. And it was just a nice little scene. And everybody's on the internet going, well, it'd be really interesting when they get married when he cheats on her again, because that'll make some good story. And I'm like, I honestly hope that they don't.
Let's have somebody do right.
You know, I think if it comes to the point where they have him cheat on her, it's going to be one of those, well, we can't think of anything interesting to tell, so we're going to jump the shark and create story, mm-hmm. you know, create conflict from this. But I really hope, I would like to see Oliver Queen at this point stepping up and being a man, because he's reached that point in his...
Well, better yet, something where he is stepping up and being a man, but she finds something that leads her to believe something else,
yeah.
Because of her trust issues with him, and then... You could have drama from that, where he did the right thing, but
because
rather than have him do a bad thing, just make her think that he has, and see how that unfolds.
Here's the one bad
controversy and drama enough.
Here's the one bad thing I'm going to say about Judd Winnick, who's writing the series now. Is Green Arrow was brought back by Kevin Smith in this really great run that they've collected in a trade called Quiver, and to me, it felt like what Kevin Smith was doing was, and then Brad Meltzer after him in his run, was having Ollie step up and be a man and taking care of his responsibilities. He's got a son. He's got this kid, this other kid that was his sidekick at one point that had got addicted to heroin. And Ollie pretty much.
Gee, that sounds very Kevin Smithy.
Well, no, this is all before Kevin Smith.
Oh, well, never mind. I thought I was being clever.
He had Speedy Roy had got addicted to heroin at one point, and Green Arrow Ollie just kind of turns his back on him and walks away from him, and he's finally
appropriate to Kevin Smith's sidekick.
Well, yeah.
Being addicted.
Kevin Smith.
Darn it.
Kevin Smith and again, Brad Meltzer after him, I got the feeling that they were, that they were really bringing Ollie Queen to a, you know, they were maturing him. He was growing up. He was, you know, he was acting like the adult that he actually is. And then Judd Winnett comes along, and one of the first things he does is he has him cheat on Black Canary again.
Ugh, and jeez,
I wasn't really a fan of that, but, nope. And I hope they don't do that again after they get married. I hope.
Nope.
You know, I want to see Ollie step up.
Do you right.
Yeah. All right. Well, those are my comic book picks of the week.
Comic book of the week.
Pick of the week. So White Picket Fences. Check it out. And, you know, I have a feeling that
check it out. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Once I get all three issues and finally have a recording device for Skype, we could probably get old Matt Anderson on the phone to talk about this book. Cause, you know, it's an independent book. They want to sell it. Yeah. They want to make that money. And this is one of those, I kind of shy away from independent books to a certain extent because I don't have a lot of money to spend on comics.
Right. And to go with what's established, yeah, that you know that you love.
Exactly. I want to go with the safe books that I know I'm going to like. And
well, plus you never know when an independent might fold on you because they go bankrupt and they can't finish the story. Yeah, that would be bad.
Well, and unfortunately, independent books have kind of a stigma of being more adult, you know, more,
it's like a lot of independent films as well.
But this one, there was nothing, I mean, anybody could have enjoyed this. Kids of all ages.
You know, I wouldn't like to read it and review it if it's not.
All right. So that's my comic book picks of the week.
Pick of the week.
Oh, whatever.
Okay.
Whatever. Pick
Next
of.
Next thing you know, you're going to be in your sentences and prepositions.
Whatever. Speaking of which, of whatever, which is a little self-taught thing that our son has created.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. I mean,
it takes a lot of explaining.
Yeah. All right.
We'll skip that. We'll edit that out.
All right. Okay. So, let's move on to what I hope will end up being a weekly segment. But of course, I'm choosing the completely wrong time of the TV year to fit it in, which is I want to start doing TV talk.
TV talk.
But of course, all the seasons are ended.
But then we'll have the summer replacement shows to discuss.
So
that'll work. But for tonight,
TV talk. All right. So tonight.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the season finale
of Boston Legal.
Boston Legal.
Denny Crane.
Okay. So I want you first to talk about the episode because really I like the show, but you're.
But you know what? I have you to thank for it.
Yeah.
People will find this interesting because I never watched it before this season, maybe here and there once or twice when nothing else was on. But it wasn't until you started doing your podcast every Tuesday night
that you were forced to watch.
That I was forced to take a 2-hour bubble bath and find something to watch. And I think the only thing that might have been of interest that was up against it was a Law and Order SVU, which I've watched from time to time. But I don't know. It must have been some particular episode that was just funny. And I just started watching it. And that's for everybody out there who hears me talk about it, but rolls their eyes because they've never seen it. So they're bored when I talk about it. This is probably a show that you could get in on at any point because I did. Now,
it's not like a Lost
to know the character. Whoa.
Okay. That is one of that's the coolest guy in our town.
We're living in Hicksville. We really are. But it helps to know the characters and their relationships, but you don't really have to because I didn't and I'm in on it. So.
Well, and because it's not like a show like Lost or Heroes where if you miss an episode, you're lost, you know? And
I mean, they do have ongoing storylines, but they have their main stories. The subplots are ongoing, but the main plot is something new.
It's like
every show.
Your good average TV show.
Yeah, it's great. This show could not be. Better cast, better written, better acted, better directed. I want to say my favorite is, but they're all my favorites.
And one of my great loves for the show is William Shatner. And
oh my gosh,
I am so happy to finally see him being, to a certain extent, taken seriously again as an actor.
Yes.
Because
still being able to poke fun at himself.
As I said last episode, I love celebrities who can make fun of themselves, and William Shatner does it better than everybody. If I'm sure
they
most
did it tonight.
Yeah, and I'm sure most of you have seen. I'll talk about that because that's I want to talk about my two favorite moments of the show, and that's one of them. But why don't
you? I need to go back two weeks, when the show started with Jerry coming in and asking Shirley for his job back. Did now, I mention that already?
Explain. I think I saw that, but explain who Jerry is.
I can't.
Because he's one of my favorite. Jerry is a brilliant lawyer.
He is.
But
he's a brilliant man.
Would you call him obsessive compulsive?
No. It's just on the tip of my tongue, and I should know this because our son is autistic. Asperger's. He's an adult with Asperger's. So yeah, he has a lot of little obsessive compulsive things that he does to help control himself. And
like
and
he hops
and he keeps his hands on his thighs.
I've noticed he's been purring a lot lately, which is some of the funniest moments in the show.
He
tried
to kill Shirley, but he didn't really. But anyway, so he comes back in asking for his job back.
Shirley is one of the partners. She's played by Murphy Brown. What's her? Candace Bergen.
Yes. The Mayflower Madam. But he comes in asking for his job back, and yeah, this is before the opening credits. And he says, you know, the idea of coming back here, you know, puts a song in my head. And she's like, really? Well, I'd like to hear it. And he's like, well, no. And she's like, no, really. One of the things I like to make sure before I hire anybody here is that, you know, they truly want to be here. So what's the song that's in your head? So here is this obsessive compulsive, usually very stiff, hands on his thighs, hopping around guy who just lets loose and goes, bam, bam, bam.
Which is the theme song to the show. And so
Breaking back to him singing
dancing
in her office while they're doing the regular credits. Funniest moment in television. In ages.
Because you had watched that. You had taped it. And I was in here on the computer getting a show ready. And I said,
we're not doing the show tonight because I have to watch it.
And I can hear you in the kitchen listening to it.
And I'm just laughing.
And I hear the scene. Yeah. And you're just laughing your head off. And so then after you had to run in, you've got to watch this.
You've got to watch this. It was hilarious. So only people who have been watching that will know what I'm talking about. But wasn't that great? Wasn't Jerry and Shirley? It was a great setup. It was a great setup by the writers. And
let me talk about my two favorite moments from the episode.
Go ahead.
Jerry, who's one of my favorite characters now.
All my favorite.
He has a woman come in who wants to sue a casino because she feels that they, you know,
Enabled her
to lose $80,000. She's now $80,000 in debt to this casino. And she comes in to Jerry to try to get him to take the case. Well, any lawyer will tell you, you can't sue a casino
for taking your money.
Yeah.
That's what they're in business to do.
Exactly. But of course he has developed these little things that he does to try to
control his Asperger's.
Be normal. And one of them, I guess, is to have a cigarette in his mouth
or a wooden cigarette.
Yeah. Or a pipe.
Yeah.
And he was trying the pipe and he has a character when he has these little props. And so she felt he wasn't taking her seriously and she got very upset. And so he ended up taking the case, which then Shirley was just not happy about at all.
No.
And so they set up.
It's not a case you would take.
Yeah. They set up a meeting with Jerry and one of the, I guess, assistants in the office. I don't know his name.
Oh, he's wonderful.
And this lawyer.
But he's a lawyer too.
Oh, this.
Yeah.
Well, and this lawyer from the casino, and the lawyer comes in. And I'm making a long story very long.
Yeah.
But they do their first meeting and the casino lawyer just obviously does not take either of these two guys seriously at all because Jerry keeps purring.
and the other guy, literally, I can't think of his name either, has characters. He dresses in drag. He's very shy. And so Clarence is his name.
The Just Another Fanboy podcast will return after these messages. And now back to Just Another Fanboy.
But he'll put on all this woman's outfit and he's Clarice because he can put people down when he's Clarice. He also will dress up as Oprah because he can handle himself as Oprah. And he's also Clarence's brother who's big and tough and, you know, don't take no stuff. But he's trying and his friends are trying to get him to just be himself. But occasionally he also slips back in to one of his characters to help him get through a moment. But when he doesn't, he's very nervous and very stumbly and still trying to get a feel for himself as he really is.
Well, so they have their first meeting with the casino lawyer, and the casino lawyer does obviously with Jerry purring and Clarence just very much welcome to our meeting room and just being very, yeah, you know, and
very weak.
And so the casino lawyer just thinks it's a joke that was totally one of his friends put him up to. So he leaves and but they get a second meeting together, which Shirley then is involved
She makes herself involved in.
And this lawyer for the casino kind of makes a flippant remark to Shirley. Well, Jerry is very enamored with Shirley.
Yes.
And as soon as this casino lawyer makes
even though he held a knife to her throat.
Yeah. As soon as this lawyer for the casino makes this, I don't even remember what he says, but as soon as he says something kind of mean towards her, they just switch over to like this Clint Eastwood, you know, the good, bad, the ugly Western cowboy music. And you just see this close up of Jerry's eyes. And it's like, and Jerry just throws down on him.
Gets
he pulls out a cigarette and just throws down on the guy.
Kind of crazy.
And then and not only do they
sticks and he's awesome.
Yeah, not only do they get this woman's $80,000 back, what do they get? Like
$225,000 settlement.
Yeah. So that was really
synthetic
good.
Synthetic pheromones.
Yes. My other favorite moment of the show is the main theme of the show was about Denny Crane, William Shatner.
Yeah.
Who is this famous lawyer. He's never lost a case. He is
Denny CraneLaw.com. Yeah, it's real.
It's a website. He is the reason why they get most of their clients. But Denny, in his old age, has started to go a little crazy.
He is crazy and senile.
In the last episode.
Mad cow.
The last episode was a really great scene where this woman had a duck in for whatever reason. And the duck was quacking. And out of nowhere, Denny bursts in with a shotgun and shoots it. But the shotgun
he
had blanks.
He shoots the gun.
Yeah.
Not at the duck. He doesn't
and
shoot the duck. He shoots
duck
the gun.
Ends up having a heart attack and dying.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's been this conflict all season about them kicking
getting
him out
of
the firm.
Up,
but
yeah.
This was his one chance, this big murder case, to show that he still has.
He's still got it.
Yeah, he's still got the chops.
He's still of benefit to the firm.
And so there's a moment in the trial where he finally stands up and says something to a witness, and it kind of brings the case around to their side. And so afterwards, you know, he's walking through the press and he's saying, Denny Crane, Denny Crane. And he makes this comment like, I once captained my own starship.
My own spaceship. Yeah.
It was just awesome.
Was just like,
I'm a man of many talents.
My own spaceship.
Yeah, you did.
Those are my two favorites.
And movies. I love that the closing scenes on the balcony are just always the best between James Spader and Denny Crane.
Denny Crane.
What's his name? William Shatner says, I can't wait till next season. And James Spader's like, I wonder what we'll do, or I can't wait to see what we do. And I
really
love that when they
really
throw in
show.
Some reality into the show.
Ever
since it started with like Ferris Bueller looking straight in the camera, you know, reality.
It was one of those shows that I just was not going to watch because it was a spinoff of, I think, The Practice.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, because James Spader's character was on The Practice on the last season.
Oh.
And
I know nothing about that.
So Boston Legal came about and
awesome.
You know, James Spader's character is very much has a, I guess you could say, a over just very high sex drive. He's
oh yeah.
So if you watch just some of the previews, you think it's just really a show about him trying to get the ladies.
Yeah,
but
there's
so much more to the show, and I'm glad I sort of watched it because it is a great show.
Characters are awesome. They play each other very well, play off of each other very well. And it's just great to see literally some older faces, you know? Candace Bergen and I keep wanting to say Walter Matthau, William Shatner. And I don't know the name of the other older character who's a partner in the firm. The old guy. I really like him
too. He was on Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Was he?
Yeah.
Wow.
So two Star Trek
That's pretty
alums
cool.
in the show.
So and then I like seeing that.
The Marine, who used to be on a show that I liked, Keen Eddy.
Yeah.
Which was a
He's
very
a father
show
now
on.
And he was still a jerk.
Yeah.
Gosh. And the baby. They showed a close up of the baby's face. My uterus always twitches.
Yeah.
With the babies.
You got to stop that.
Anyway, it was a great show. Can't wait till next season. If you have the opportunity to get caught up on reruns during the summer, if they show them,
or get the
we
DVDs.
Thought we might miss it. So I was looking online at abc.com to see if that's one of the shows that you can watch online, and it isn't. So
that's
I'm also glad we caught it on time.
Yeah,
they should. I don't know why they wouldn't. They have so many other of their hour-long dramas on there. So.
And I know if DeFixer 3000 is listening, he likes the show too.
Oh, love it. Tonight was a great, they're all great episodes. You really just, and all the, I just love it. Okay, I'm done. It was, I mean, it was a very good show. I loved it a lot.
Cause it's not just your typical lawyer show. It's really good.
Yeah.
Good
show. The characters are so in depth. And I'm still such an entertaining way.
I'm still waiting. If William Shatner is going to make a Star Trek reference, we got to get a T.J. Hooker reference.
Yeah. I never watched that, so I wouldn't catch it if he did.
We got to see him leaping on the hood of a car.
Oh, no, that would be bad. Nobody All wants right. to see that. Put that away.
Well, then let's do my out-of-the-box comic review.
All right. People are loving this, honey.
That's true.
Getting some good feedback. It was a very good idea.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
What is your favorite thing in the world besides your wife and baby?
Comics.
Yes.
Comics!
No, wait. Tell me about comics.
Tell me about comics.
It's over prime.
I always play foosball for comics. You gave me a Wolverine hologram card.
Comics!
One shall stand, one shall fall.
What?
How's it going?
You gonna wash your hands?
No. Because I'm evil.
Comics!
Okay, this week, what I pulled out of the old box was Spider-Man number 17. This has a cover date of December 1991. The cover shows Spider-Man broken and beaten in the hand of Thanos. And it says, at the hand of Thanos, the death of Superman, the death of Spider-Man, you will believe a man can die.
Oh, my.
All right. So let's get into the old issue. The credits on this, Ann Nocenti is the writer, Rick Leonardi on pencils, Al Williamson on inks, Chris Eliopoulos letters, Gregory Wright on colors, and Danny Fingeroth is the editor.
And let me ask you real quick, as you've been doing these, are these recognizable names? Are most of them or none of them still business?
I don't know about some. I can tell you right now,
excuse me.
Names I recognize, Rick Leonardi, the penciler, he's still working. Chris Eliopoulos, letters, he's a big name in comic book lettering. And Nocenti I recognize from older books, but I don't know if she's still writing. She may have an editor job by now for all I know. But okay, this is what we like to call a done in one issue. This is a one issue story.
That I can do.
We start out with Spider-Man web slinging through the city. The title of this issue, No One Gets Out of Here
Alive.
That's
what comic books should be, frankly, in my opinion.
Well, and there are some really good comics that are just one issue books.
Yeah.
But this has got Spider-Man flinging around through the city, and he's got a bottle of barbecue sauce in his, well, he doesn't have pockets.
Is it Casey Masterpiece?
No.
Oh, that'd be cool.
He doesn't have pockets, so it's kind of stuck in the waistband of the back of his costume. And, you know, it's one of these where they're really trying to just nail down right here in the first page that Peter Parker is your everyman. Because he's saying, got to pick up Mary Jane. Got to get the barbecue sauce to Aunt May's. Hope that the last rent check isn't a rubber one. Got to fill up on web fluid. Blah, 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 blah. Well, then his spider sense goes off and...
What? On web what?
Web fluid.
Something he has to stock up on?
Yes.
Doesn't...
Spider-Man, until recently, his webbing wasn't part of his powers.
Oh, that would be very complicated.
A lot of people were really upset when in the Spider-Man movie, his webbing became part of his powers. Because one of the things about Peter Parker is that he is kind of a boy genius. He created this formula that he wears these wristbands. And the reason why when you see him shooting webs, he's touching his fingers to his palm. He has these web shooters with a little button on his palm, and it shoots the webbing, and it's something that
I like it being part of his natural powers.
It makes a little more sense, but
it's a lot safer.
You know,
run out.
But that was another one of his things that a lot of people liked is sometimes in mid battle, he'd run out of webbing. So he'd have to come up with something else.
Okay. I can get that.
So anyway, he's web slinging through the city and his spider sense goes off and a couple of guys on a skyscraper that's washing windows, their little scaffolding thing, their little platform, one of the cables snaps. So he swings down there and, you know, he even makes a comment to himself, I could do this gig in my sleep. hope I don't drop the barbecue sauce. And he webs the guys up and saves them, and then he has to go after the platform that's falling, and he notices that it's falling towards a big cooling machine, a big air conditioner unit on top of a building, and he realizes I've got to get it because it's full of the thing is full of Freon, and on the roof of the building is this woman and her daughter, and she's putting out the laundry, and he realizes if he does not get to this scaffolding, this woman and her daughter is going to die. And he swings down there, grabs the woman as the air conditioner unit is exploding and spraying them with Freon. Ew. He gets covered in it and he dies. Oh. This happens within like the first three pages.
Yeah.
So the rest of the issue is then him in like the afterlife to a certain extent, where he runs into Death, who in the Marvel universe is a woman, and Thanos, who anybody who's been reading comics in the past couple decades knows that Thanos is in love with Death. Thanos is a space character. He's an alien.
He's huge, it looks like.
Yeah, he's a big guy. And so we get this whole issue with Thanos, you know, kind of telling him that, you know, he's kind of a sap for devoting his life to rescuing people because, you know, one thing you don't realize is that when you become, being a hero, creates villains. And so even though you're saving lives,
you're endangering the lives of your loved ones.
Well, not only are you endangering lives, but you're creating villains who go out and kill other people. So just by being who you are, you're causing the deaths of many, many people. And then he learns as he's talking to Thanos that he did save the woman, but he didn't save the little girl. And the little girl is dying. She's not dead yet. She's halfway in this afterlife and halfway. Oh, that probably is going to be picked up by the mic, but our that coffee machine
three
is
little
beeping.
Beeps. If you heard that, that means our coffee maker's
our coffee's done.
Done.
So anyway, he realizes this little girl is dying and he wants Thanos and Death to release him back to life so he can go basically take her to the hospital. And, you know, he's yelling at Thanos and he does what Spider-Man does, which is give Thanos a good old sock to the jaw. So they start fighting. And of course, Thanos is, you know, what do you think you're doing? I'm Thanos. Hello. I control everything here. But in the end, Death herself, who never talks, she, you know, realizes she's the one that ends up bringing him back. And he comes back to life. And as he does, so does the little girl, who's still in a lot of danger, but in the end, he takes her and takes her to the hospital. The only thing I didn't like it is, you know, he wakes back up. The woman's mother, the little girl's mother is, you know, like, oh, thank God you're alive. And she's alive too. You both came back together. And he says something like, he says, gosh, what a wacky feeling I had. Like I left my body and traveled. And the woman says, it happens, boy. Don't you question it. Just trust. And so he grabs the girl, and the only thing I didn't like is the last thing. Grabs the girl, he says, meet me at the hospital, ma'am, and then in thought bubble says, the barbecue sauce, Aunt May will kill me. I'm in trouble now, I'm doomed, I'm dead. It's like this very serious tone, but then, you know, Peter Parker's kind of a jokester, I guess.
Yeah.
But let me grade it. At first I read this, honestly, and I was sitting here reading this going, ugh, these are the kind of books I don't like, because I like the big story. I don't like it when you get these one issue books that really, when it comes down to it, doesn't really mean anything in the world of Spider-Man. It's just this, you know, nothing really, I guess, happens to a certain extent. Nothing happens to affect the life of Spider-Man. They probably have never referenced this book ever in another issue of Spider-Man. But I ended up, by the end of it, realizing that I actually did enjoy it.
Good.
You know, I'm sure the first time I read it, I was like, yeah, whatever.
Maybe.
Let's get back to the superhero stuff. But, yeah, and there's an ad for Hook.
The ad on the back page is a shiny hook, and it says,
Coming for Christmas.
Yeah. Awesome.
So.
I love things like that. Well, I like the idea of this because it's very reminiscent of old TV shows and stuff when kids would go out and buy a comic book, you know. Kids were, you know, poor, and yet the parents would say, well, don't go spend all your allowance on comic books. But you see a kid running down to the local soda shop and looking through the magazine rack, and they buy a comic book, and they don't have enough money to buy a new one every week or every month. They just need these little, you know, one-timers like that. I think that's wonderful.
Well, I think that's why in the end, when I finished it, I thought, you know, I really did actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because it set out to do what it was meant to do, which was just tell this one little story. The art in it was good. It wasn't fantastic, but
it's kind of neat to see the difference in quality of, of illustration over the few years.
Yeah. And I do like Rick Leonardi. I read, I think he did the Spider-Man 2099 series that was out back in the 90s that I enjoyed. But I will grade this as a 7. I'll give it a 7 out of 10. Good. So, but one thing I want to draw everyone's attention to, which I always love when I look at these older books, and this isn't as funny as when I even go back to the early 80s, but there's your ad in here for subscriptions to Marvel Comics. And their regular titles, you can get 12 issues for $12.
Wow.
And then their special prices. Some of them are 15. I think the highest one is $27, the Savage Sword of Conan. But I think that was magazine size. But some of these titles, Amazing Spider-Man, that's still around. Avengers, Avengers West Coast, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Captain America, Conan, Daredevil, Dark Hawk. I think that lasted a year. Fantastic Four, Guardians of the Galaxy, that's not around anymore. G.I. Joe, Incredible Hulk, that's a lot of Sleepwalker, that's not around anymore. NFL Super Pro, definitely not around anymore. Just some good stuff.
Wonder Man. I don't know of a Wonder Man. Never heard of that.
Yeah. I liked Wonder Man.
That's
Wonder
neat.
So.
And then another ad says, play Trog.
Trog.
Says some.
Yeah, video game.
Old school video game.
Didn't play it.
Okay, good for you. Right,
so that was my out of the box comic review. I'm enjoying these too.
Big success here, honey.
It's a good excuse to read some of these old books. Let's move on to another new segment.
A new segment, which is a spinoff of what you just did.
Yeah.
Because you inspired me.
We're calling this Karen's Out of the Box. This ain't got nothing to do with comics discussion.
So what I did was go up to the attic. Oh, I just lost there it is. I have been known to, save and, safely collect various magazines over the years, which I, you know, maybe worth something someday or maybe of interest someday. So what I did was reach in and I grabbed a magazine from my stash. And the best and worst thing about my pick is that it's a special double issue, which means there's lots of stuff I can talk about, but also too much stuff to talk about, of People Weekly Magazine from December 27th, 1993 through the week of January 3rd, 1994. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Because the cover is the 25 most intriguing people of the year. So that's for 1993. So even though I've marked a couple of various things in here that I wanted to go over, just, you know, to date it as references, I'm going to skip a couple things because we're already running late. It's almost midnight. Quickly, because it's the year-end review, it's a double issue because it's the 25 most intriguing people of the year plus the year in review. So that's too much to talk about. They always have the best of and worst of. So they have it in books and TV shows and a couple other things, I think. But I thought I would do best and worst of screen out of this issue. So best of screen would have been The Fugitive.
Good movie.
Philadelphia.
I don't think I actually saw all the Fugitive.
Shortcuts.
What?
Shortcuts. Director Robert Altman stitches a batch of Raymond Carver's tales into a sometimes cruel, sometimes hilarious, always unflinching epic of middle-class life. Don't know it. Okay. Next is Dave. Great.
That's a good movie.
The Piano. Good work by Holly Hunter. Jurassic Park.
Yay, yay.
Schindler's List.
Yeah, good movie.
It's a good year in movies. In the Line of Fire.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood.
Carlito's Way.
Didn't see it.
The Age of Innocence. And in further worthies, I guess these are like honorary best of screen, The Joy Luck Club, Sleepless in Seattle, The Remains of the Day, Like Water for Chocolate, which I've never seen, but my sister talks about it. It's like a foreign film, but it's very kind of, softcore erotica. And Adam's Family Values. Okay, worst of screen for 1993. Poetic Justice.
I liked that movie.
Of course you did. boxing Helena.
Never saw it.
Which I believe, speaking of the whole Alec Baldwin, Kim Basinger thing, that's the movie that she got sued over for breach of contract because she agreed to do it and then she pulled out. Because I guess there was a nude scene and she had it in her contract that she wouldn't. Life with Mickey with Michael J. Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Last Action Hero.
Yay, yay. I love that movie.
Sliver. Another Baldwin. William Baldwin, Sharon Stone.
Didn't like that.
Kind of creepy. My Life. Yeah. Remember with Michael Keaton?
Oh, is that the one where he's got cancer? Yeah, that's sad.
That is. That's hard to watch. Indecent Proposal. That surprises me.
That's I didn't care for that one too much.
The Real McCoy.
They picked that as a worst.
Oh my gosh, this is also weird. The Real McCoy. This deeply dumb film starring Kim Basinger as an ex-bank robber. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Interesting. Body of Evidence.
Yeah.
The Nightmare Before Christmas.
What? People are drunk.
And Further Follies. Born Yesterday. The Son-in-Law. Dennis the Menace. Made in America.
What's Made in America?
I don't know. Because it's M-A-D-E. My first thought was the one with J-Lo. No. I don't know what that was. And Mr. Jones. Okay, so those are the best and worst of movies for 90%.
How can they say that? Last Action Hero. Let me say this real quick. Nobody understood, well, those of us who liked the movie understood what Last Action Hero was supposed to be. Last Action Hero was a movie made by Arnold Schwarzenegger making fun of all the action movies out at the time. But I think some people thought it was supposed to be, well, I hope nobody thought it was supposed to be a serious action movie.
I don't think it was funny.
The best line in that entire movie is when he goes to Leo the Fart's funeral and he's standing there at the casket and he's looking at the other mourners and he goes, he was a great man. He was a flagellant man.
Gosh.
And of course, he has a bomb. I'm sorry, I have to say this.
No, this is cool because now you're stepping on my toes. Because
he's Leo the Fart. And he's a big fat guy.
Leo the Fart.
I think that was his name, Leo the Fart. He was a flagellant man. But the bad guys had placed a bomb in him that was actually a nerve agent. So he was going to pass gas one last time. And the bad guy goes up to turn the bomb on. And the way he does it, he has to pull his finger.
Oh, sad.
You can't write comedy like that.
No, you really can't. Not these days. Okay, I'll quickly run down the 25 most intriguing people, People Magazine's choice.
All right.
For the year of 1993.
Okay.
Bill Clinton and Hillary Rodham Clinton. Okay. In a rare joint interview, the first couple reflect on Chelsea, life in the White House, and the issues that drive them. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't think these are like numbered like 1 to 25. It's just a grouping of 25. Sadly, Princess Diana, caught in a no-win struggle with the palace, Di bows out gracefully, but even in defeat, still works her magic on a loving public. Michael Jackson.
Jacko on his backo.
Did he or didn't he? Either way, the age of innocence ends for the world's most popular pop star.
Whatever.
No comment. Yasser Arafat. The Palestinian leader boldly bucked his militant image to embrace a blueprint for peace. Now he has to make it work. Oprah Winfrey, from Crusades to Calories, TV's top talker, can find no guest as endlessly engaging as herself.
I think that's almost a dig.
Okay, get this one. Shannon Doherty. The unpredictable Beverly Hills 90210 star took a riveting walk. Make that a breathless sprint on the wilds.
And of course I say, but yet, who was watching 90210 every week? Me.
Yeah.
I had to admit it.
Okay. Next up is David Letterman.
Love David Letterman.
With a new network, new theater, and new airtime. The caustic comedian has the last laugh. Now here's Johnny's rightful heir.
Yeah. He got ripped off, but.
Yeah, but he's doing great.
He's doing great at CBS.
Janet Reno, the star of the Clinton cabinet, won praise for honesty, but some wonder if this prosecutor might be a bit too independent.
Yeah. She's only funny when
she was done on SNL.
Yeah, by, what's his name? Okay.
Howard Stern, the radio jock, caused a shockwave when he flashed his private parts.
Not a big fan of Howard Stern, but I did like that movie.
Next up is Baby Jessica. You know, so many, it's hard to remember all the child stories from back then. But I do believe, it says her wrenching custody battle tore the hearts of parents and step-parents alike as it raised the issue of children's rights or lack of them. I believe she was maybe one of those that was adopted by one family. And then the father maybe never gave away his rights. So they got her back when she was, I could be wrong. I didn't read it. But anyway, baby Jessica. Okay. Next up, as I turn the pages, Lyle Lovett. The quirky country balladeer triumphed where young hunks have failed. He joined gorgeous Julia Roberts in the Chapel of Love.
The Kramer of country.
Kind of dates things here. I really enjoyed this. Old Man River, the Mississippi, normally placid and nurturing father of waters, turned into a wrathful patriarch, loosing a flood of biblical proportions. Those who have known the river from times past to this past summer speak of its majesty and of life when its banks knows no bounds.
Don't remember that.
Isn't that weird? Neither do I. Jeez. Jerry Seinfeld.
I like Jerry.
Porsche collector, credit card hawker, monster of the mundane. The arch stand-up comic is sitting pretty atop TV's coolest sitcom.
And a Superman fan.
Cool. Catherine Ann Power, a symbol of 60s rebellion, finally comes in from the cold and is giving herself up, faces the chilling effect of her deeds. I have a vague recollection of that, but not enough to... Eddie Vedder.
I was a big
Pearl Rock's Jam. Hype and hoopla, Pearl Jam's lead, Fury captures the passions of a new generation.
He used to be a big Eddie Vedder fan, but I got sick of him after a while.
Vincent Foster Jr., the suicide of a high-ranking White House official and a close friend of the Clintons, forces Washington to take a long, hard look at itself. That was scandalous.
Mm-hmm.
The Just Another Fanboy podcast will return after these messages. And now back to Just Another Fanboy.
Oh, I might say this wrong. Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, did an obscure radical Egyptian cleric bring terrorism to America? I don't even want to talk about that. Michael Jordan, the Emperor of Air, gives up the game he loves, leaving the rest of us to wonder how much fame, loss, and scrutiny is too much for one extraordinary superstar to bear.
I miss my Air Jordans. I had some of the original Air Jordans.
Oh,
my cousin worked at a sports store, so she got us Air Jordans at cost. And my little brother ended up with a pair of Air Jordans that, you know, the old original white, black, and red ones, but they were made for babies. And he hung them around the rearview mirror of his car.
She gave me Abby's very first pair of shoes when Abby was born. Teeny tiny little pair of, pink and white kind of saddle shoe looking Nikes.
Nice.
I still have them. They're kind of yellow and white now, 20 years later. Rush Limbaugh, the conservative kingpin, expanded his audience as well as his bank account, and he proclaims that's the way things ought to be. Next up, Andrew Wiles. Working in an attic hideaway, he cracked a problem that had mystified great minds for ages.
What was that problem?
For more than 350 years, it had been the holy grail of mathematics. In 1637, Pierre de Fermat, a French magistrate and mathematician, claimed...
It's about math.
Yeah, we'll skip it. But, interesting. Tommy Lee Jones.
I like Tommy.
Nobody can wear a pair of Levi's like Tommy Lee Jones. The mean-looking, tough-talking ex-Harvard jock made the fugitive arresting and himself a star.
I still want to see the ultimate Western with Tommy Lee Jones, Clint Eastwood, and Sam Elliott. Let's do it, people.
Man.
Let's get it out there.
That would be the bomb.
Let's get it out there.
Sorry.
You can even throw Kevin Costner in there. I don't care.
One of people's 25 most intriguing people of the year in 93, Susan Powder.
Stop the madness!
The workout warrior and infomercial queen gets rich telling women fitness is the best revenge.
Yeah, she was crazy.
Lorena Bobbitt.
Oh, my.
Avenger, punchline, or criminal? There was no cutting off the debate.
Snip, snip.
Tom Hanks, traveling from Seattle to Philadelphia. The actor put together a dream year and proved he can do more than play for laughs.
I love Tom Hanks.
He's awesome.
I love him.
That's pretty good. And quickly, I'll just go over a few of the tributes, which means, of course, people who passed away in 93. That would be Audrey Hepburn, Dizzy Gillespie, River Phoenix, Raymond Burr,
Arthur Ashe.
Fred Gwynn, yeah, Herman Munster. Cesar Chavez, Roy Campanella, Helen Hayes.
Conway Twitty.
Don Ameche, Conway Twitty, Brandon Lee died that year. Vincent Price.
Spud McKenzie.
Spuds McKenzie.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that's too bad. And I think other than one last thing here, the bad news biosphere. We heard more than enough in 93 about and from a bunch of spotlight hogs. What better way to muffle their mugs than to volunteer them for the next biosphere, set to seal in February? Nothing in, nothing out for a blissful year, which is weird because I just watched Biodome with, was that Dan, Bill, which Baldwin was that?
Holly Shore and Steve Baldwin.
That's Stephen Baldwin?
Yeah.
Okay. Yesterday. So many references here. It's bizarre. Nothing in, nothing out for a blissful year. The crew profile, Chevy Chase will benefit from a captive audience. With underwear rapper Marky Mark on hand, there will be wildlife to study. Tart-tongued model Naomi Campbell will let everyone know who's boss. Firecracker-tossing ex-Mets outfielder Vince Coleman will make sure crew members get a bang out of their stay. Joey Badabuco will check IDs to keep out the underage. Reputed Beverly Hills madam Heidi Fleiss will play social director. Scandal-stained Senator Bob Packwood will keep the official diary. Sharon Stone will ensure that no matter how badly things go, there will be media coverage, and Ross Perot will explain why the whole experiment cannot possibly work.
Can I finish? See, I do Ross Perot, but I don't actually do Ross Perot. I do Nana Carvey doing Ross Perot. Can I finish?
There you go.
Can I finish? Yep.
And back to the front page of this, well, the front section in the mailbag, in regard to the previous week's magazine, references to an article about Bill Bixby's passing. Steve Garvey comments. Apparently something bad happened there. And some comments about David Caruso as the breakout star of NYPD Blues.
H.
We think he's so cool. We just call him. We don't even go with the H. We just say, which is really cool. And then comments about River Phoenix's death. So that was People Weekly Magazine special double issue. From December 27, 93 through the week of January 3rd, 1994, which included the 25 most intriguing people of the year. And thank you. That was my new segment. Oh, this will be fun for me. I walked down memory lane for
a little walk,
culture.
A little stroll. Ah. Okay.
Thanks, hon.
All right. Well, then let's do some listeners' feedback.
Awesome.
All right, this week on Listener's Feedback, it's another all-nuge feedback episode.
All nuge.
Making everybody look bad.
Yeah.
Except for Kevin. Kevin had his voicemail last week.
Kevin.
But we've got an email from the nuge and a voicemail from the nuge. And I do want to say right up the front, Drew Nugent actually sent me two email. The second one contained chapter two of his superhero story, Saving Jed.
And which is actually a bit longer.
Yeah, he did warn me straight off the bat that it was a bit long. So we are running a little long this week. So I think what I'm going to do, and I really don't know exactly how long the episodes are until I get it all recorded, get the music in there and edit it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit down and I'm going to record myself reading chapter two.
Mm-hmm.
And if the episode doesn't come out too long, then I'm going to stick it in at the end. Okay. So. Wait till the end credits, the theme song at the end. And we may, if not, if I can't fit it in, then we'll put it in
get
for
it on
next
week.
But we'll get it in there, Drew. Don't worry. Okay. So I'm just going to break in here as I recorded this the night after we recorded the episode, but this is going to be part one of chapter two of Saving Jed, written by a Mr. Drew Nugent. Gail Dawson was a child prodigy. From day one, her parents knew she was special. When she was born, she was already laughing and smiling. When she was 2 months old, she was walking. By 4 months, she was talking. And by 6 months, she was potty trained. Gail was so smart that by the age of 5, she was in 3rd grade learning cursive, while other kids her age were learning how to write their ABCs. Since she had skipped 3rd grade, she was always younger than the kids in her grade and 3 grades ahead of kids her age, so she really had no friends. But when she was a senior in high school, she was 14 at the time, she met Jody Fox. She was just as old as the other kids. She was an 18-year-old. She was a beautiful blonde who was extremely popular, but she was not one of those stuck-up girls you see all the time. She had a heart of gold. When Jody met Gail, she identified with her as a regular girl, just like anybody else. So she became best friends with Gail. They hung out with each other all the time. They went to parties and movies together. But one rainy Saturday, Jody and Gail were at a movie, and the usher came down and told Jody she had a phone call. Jody went to get it. After about 2 minutes, Jody came and told Gail she had to leave. So Jody left and Gail stayed for the rest of the movie. About an hour later, three people came crashing through the movie theater roof. There was a masked man and a masked woman and a regular man. This man was Gail's father. The masked people were beating her father up. Gail ran to him and said, "Leave my daddy alone!" And then something happened that would change Gail's life. "Gail, get out of the way," the masked woman said. "How do you know my name?" the masked woman gasped. And then Gail said, "Jody." And that was the end of part one of chapter two of Saving Jed, written by our very own Drew Nugent. Here's his email. "Hey, Steven, it's Drew Nugent, and I have a couple of comments. First of all, can you make your podcast a daily show? Because that would be awesome." That would be awesome.
And if it was a full-time paying gig, then maybe.
We may do that. But for now, don't think so. "I hate having to wait a whole week for a show to come out. I love it so much. And I also wanted to ask if I could be one of the guest hosts on the new Skype show."
Cool.
"I don't have Skype, so I would have to do it via telephone. My idea for the show I would be in is we would talk about comic movies and upcoming comic movies. And sorry for spelling your name wrong last time."
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, really, honestly, spelling my name wrong is no big deal. It's one of those things I had to deal with all my life.
Yeah. I love hearing from the Nuge.
Yeah.
And I think it's very likely that he can be fit in. One thing, Drew, do me a favor. The mother in me tells me that I think it would be a good idea if your parents know that you are emailing us and in communique via voicemail, and that we probably would need their permission in some very legal way. Not to be nerds or anything, but before we did an interview with you, we'd want to get some kind of, because you're underage and
honestly,
we want to protect your innocence.
Yeah. And being a parent ourselves.
Right. It would freak me out a little bit.
If some strange man called the house and said, "Hey, can I talk to your 13-year-old son?"
Well, even if some strange man and his strange wife were talking about my son so openly on the internet, like we're doing. So, just run it by your parents. Let them know that we think it's great that you're into the comic book podcast.
Let them listen to a few episodes.
Yeah. You've got no way to prove to us that you did or didn't do that if we ask you to. So it's going to be honor code. And we hope that you'll respect that, please.
So if
I went all parental on you, I can't help it. I'm a mom.
So Drew's mom and dad, if you're listening, we are parents too, and we love our children very much.
And we don't want to put Drew in any sort of, or you as parents, in any sort of awkward position. So we'd love to keep hearing from you, Drew, and we'll keep reading your installments. Just put our minds at ease and let us know mom, pa, are okay with that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's play.
And get your best friend's older sister to call in and pretend that she's your mom.
Yeah.
We don't fall for that.
That's right.
We are parents. We have eyes in the back of our heads. We know when it's bull.
Yeah, we have that that parental superpower.
Yes, we do.
Okay, well, let's play his voicemail.
Let's hear it.
Hey, Steven. It's Drew again. I'll leave another message. And since Karen was upset about me not talking about her, I'm going to dedicate this little thing, this little voicemail letter. First of all, Karen, I think you should get your own podcast. No offense to you, Steven. I love the show, and it's like my favorite show ever. I am your number one fan. But I think that you, Karen, should get your own podcast. You should still go, so you should have a family, but have your own podcast. To do, whatever you want. Go, a whole hour or whatever you want to do just your thing. That'd be awesome. I would listen to it. And also, what do you do around the house when you're by yourself? You're a stay-at-home mom, right? So, what do you do? Just wondering. Anyway, bye.
Hey there. Are you trying to make moves on my woman?
That was sweet. Okay, so,
What do you do around the house when you're by yourself?
Okay. I'm a stay-at-home mom, yes, but I don't have any kids in school yet. They're all still toddler age.
She's never by yourself.
4 and 3 and 1.5. So they're here with me. So it's not like they go off to school and then I have all day, to sit around and do stuff. So, no, they're always here. I'm not home alone. So basically I spend my days hanging out with my kids and, catching up on online gossip, celebrity gossip, and watching a little TV. and missing my husband and looking forward to him coming home at the end of every day. Mm-hmm. So that's true. To help me with the children because they're driving me crazy. So maybe someday I'll have something more interesting to say in regard to what I do around the house. But I do the kind of stuff that most moms do around the house.
Yeah,
and less of it, because I hardly ever make a home-cooked meal.
Yeah, because I don't want you ending up like that woman on that last episode of Quantum Leap I watched from season 3 where he leapt into the body of, a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Whose mom was going to run away because she was feeling like a non-person because all she did was...
Oh, I feel very much like a person. I am one of those really nerdy women who totally feels fulfilled by motherhood. Maybe it's because it's my second time around because I've got the 19-year-old and I had her when I was very young. And so I had these three, you know, in my, mid to late 30s. I don't know that I'm just all about the kids and yeah, they drive me crazy and I want to kill them sometimes, but it's just because they're little and they have no patience. And you know, the thing about toddlers is they're not rational.
You cannot reason. It
drives me crazy. They're not rational. Drives me nuts.
And I think
I can handle it on most days, but some days I'm just like, I want to be able to say something and explain the concept of sharing and have it make sense and have them go, oh, that's such a much more enlightened way to do things. Mom, thank you.
I think what drives you more crazy is when I actually try to reason with them.
Yeah. I just want to snap.
Cause I'm trying to reason with them. You're like, honey.
Just pick him up and take her. He's not going to come. He's not going to go on his own. You're just going to have to pick him up and take him or whatever it is. So, yeah, I'm nuts about my kids. I'm, you know, I probably won't say that in a few years. I mean, not that I won't be nuts about them, but that, you know, my life won't revolve around them because they need me right now because they're all so little and tiny.
Yeah.
Alrighty then.
Well, that's a show. Anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, I just wanted to say one more thing that I noticed in regard to the email about Alec Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
When it says, hello, Steven.
He spelled my name correctly.
He spelled your name correctly.
Yeah.
Not likely who knows this is me. Alec Baldwin.
That's somebody who knows me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quit messing with us.
So it's either going to be.
No, what's going to happen is we're going to get a flood of emails that all come from celebrities. Yeah. Don't mess with us like people.
It's either going to be my brother or Kevin. Not the Kevin who leaves us voicemails, but Kevin I used to work with.
Well, and then, of course, there's the issue of that he, whoever he is or she, stated, first of all, bring back that Norman, Oklahoma. And second of all, bring back Gary and Anna at the movies. Two big things that a lot of people who were your devoted listeners probably miss a lot, with the addition of me.
Yeah.
So I think whether this is Alec Baldwin or whether it's David or whether it's anybody else, once we do the double podcast a week where we do this thing and then you have one that's solely devoted to comics, you'll fit the guys back in there. So everybody to a degree, or it'll be more what, people expect when they click online and do a search for comic book podcasts, it will be more comic book related.
You want to know what's kind of funny though?
So everyone will be happy, hopefully, that way. What, baby?
I've been thinking about this the past few weeks. When I first started thinking about doing a podcast, I came to you with the idea. I think we should do a podcast together.
All about the we.
And it could be like a podcast where we have a little host chat. You could talk, have a little segment where you talk about celebrities and
parenting
entertainment gossip
stuff
and I could have a little segment where I talk comics and you were like, no.
No, I don't have time in my life for that.
That's what we're doing now.
I was like not an attention hound. I don't need the attention. I don't need to be somebody.
I just want to be
I don't need
loved.
Anyone else to define me. I know who I am. You go do your thing.
that's what it's evolved into. So.
It took you like
see if you just
all those many months, but you wrangled me in. You've suckered me in.
That's right.
I'm such a adult. Oh, for heaven's sakes.
All right. Okay. Well, let's wrap her up because I'm actually really about to fall asleep here.
It is 12:16 in the a.m.
Send me an email, justanotherfanboy@gmail.com. I think it was MGuy1977, Matthew Guy, who made a comment. He had PM'd me his quirks over at the board. And he made a comment that apparently that my email address, justanotherfanboy@gmail.com, is not that easy to find.
Really?
I mean, I do mention it like 9 times on the show, but, you know, and I do find myself when I'm listening to other podcasts and they mention their email address, unless I've got a pen and paper right there.
Oh, true enough.
By the time the podcast is over, I don't remember it. And I don't feel like going back and trying to search for it through the podcast.
Well, just remember that it's just another fanboy.
Well,
and that, you love the show. So gmail.com.
But If you do go to the website, justanotherfanboy.com, there is a link up near the top that says contact the host, Steven. Just click on that. That's the email address.
Cool. So, that'll work.
Visit us at the board, cgspodcast.com/forum2.
Love it.
Or again, go to justanotherfanboy.com and click on the links. Is my message board.
I want to tell the one guy that, of course, I got the reference about the other, one day at a time thing. I loved it.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
What, you jealous, Mom? Yeah, that was a good one. Classic TV moment. I agree.
We are a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. You can find that at comicspodcasts.com. Check it out for not all of the great comic book podcasts out there, but a great majority of them are part of the Comics Podcast Network. Come and leave an iTunes review. We're now up 13. Somebody left one, and dang it, I didn't write down the name. I was going to give him a shout out, but yeah, it's a good little, I think they gave us all 5 stars.
Oh my
God. So that's 13. So
lucky 13.
I don't want to do the math, but we have some more to go to get to 100. call us at the, Just Another Fanboy voice line at 1-877-309-8367, extension 212. Be as cool as the Nuge and Kevin. And send in your voicemails. It seemed like for weeks I was getting at least 3 or 4 every episode.
I remember that.
So I'm a little sad.
Yeah. They'll come back. Remember, he's got spring fever and
that's true.
Heading into summer. People are going to be busy.
That's true. The theme show for the episode is Comic Book by the Super Spies. Find it and information about the band at garageband.com. The rest of the music comes from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. So until next week, I'm Steven.
And I'm Karen.
And I'm just another fanboy.
And I've got my own official segment on the show.
Sweet.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Good job.